my words be pleasing to you, and may those who hear it learn more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, today we're talking about the 23rd Psalm. And I like it in the King James Version because that's where I learned it. That's when I memorized it, was out of the King James Version. So, and for me, it's kind of more poetic. So here is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We've heard this psalm frequently. I would guess we could all recite it from memory. Its words are a comfort. It's read at funerals, Bible studies have been done, sermons have been spoken. But as I was trying to come up with a topic for today's sermon, an idea came to me. I am certain it was from God because I would never have thought of it on my own. During coffee with some friends a couple of weeks ago, somehow the discussion turned to translation of the Bible and how the use of different words, even one word, can change the meaning of an idea. We talked about Psalms. The Psalms were written in Hebrew. The Hebrew words have several meanings, and some imply meanings that really don't transition to English very well. My stepfather, when he was in seminary, one of his classes required him to translate some part of the Bible from the Greek to the English. And he said it was so difficult because Greek words had several meanings and nuances, and any one of which could have totally changed the meaning of the phrase. So when we read the translation, know that it was God working in that person to translate it to the way he wanted those odd Greek words to translate into English. Jesus would have been familiar with the 23rd Psalm, as the Bible in his time was the Old Testament, and that's what they had. Jesus quotes the Psalms more than 50 times, more than any other Old Testament book. On the cross, Jesus quotes Psalm 22:1 when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus even says in Luke 24:44, when he appears to the disciples after his resurrection, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. As I read the 23rd Psalms with new eyes and with relation to Lent and Jesus' crucifixion, the familiar lines had fresh meaning. And maybe Jesus looked at them this way too. Let's imagine that David was writing this psalm not just for us, but for Jesus. David was born in 1040 BC. So if that was the case, it was definitely from God. He was in the line of Jesus, but over 1,000 years after David wrote them, these words would have been special comfort to Jesus. Let's imagine that these words were written for Jesus himself and how that would change the meaning of them. So I'm going to go line by line. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord, Yahweh, God, was Jesus' shepherd. He sent him to earth to fulfill his purpose. Jesus prayed to him many times. Jesus looked to him for guidance. The Lord God provided Jesus with everything he needed. Jesus didn't have a job that paid money, not in the traditional sense. Now, he must have been given money by followers or people that believed in his ministry, because Judas was the treasurer and kept the group's purse, so there had to be some kind of money. God provided Jesus with his disciples so he wouldn't be alone. He provided him with food. He didn't lack food. His meals with various people and groups are documented in the Bible. He provided clothing, or maybe his clothes never wore out. Who knows? He provided him protection. Jesus did not want for anything. And as he recited this line in the psalm, he was thanking God for his provision. The next line, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. In the Hebrew, the wording implies he forces me to lie down, or he says he makes me lie down. The still waters can be translated as refreshment or something refreshing for the soul. Jesus was often led to go off by himself and pray. In the Bible, there are at least 25 times that this has happened. Jesus needed rest just like we do, maybe more. His ministry was very stressful and took a lot of energy, not only to teach those who came to hear him speak, but to continuously try to teach his disciples. So Jesus is remembering and thanking God for giving him the rest he needed. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God led Jesus into the wilderness, and Satan tempted him for 40 days. God did not allow Jesus to give in to temptation. He led him through his word in the paths of righteousness for God's name's sake. Jesus did not forsake God. He remained holy, even when he was hungry and suffering. Also, when Jesus stood before Pilate and Herod and the crowds, he remained unperturbed. He remained true to God's purpose, even though he could have rescued himself. Jesus, with this line, was recognizing how God had led him through difficult times. He is thanking him for providing the strength he needed to complete his ministry. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus had been walking in the shadow of the valley of death his whole life. He always knew God's plan for him, his purpose for coming to earth. He told his disciples numerous times that he was going to die. As Jesus walked to the cross, knowing that he was going to die, he was not afraid, because he knew his Father God was with him. This passage talks about protection from danger and evil. In Luke 4:28-30, when he was in Nazareth and claimed that he was the Messiah, it says, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Many times the Sadducees and Pharisees wanted to take him, but it was not his time. The rod and the staff were tools of the shepherd. The rod was to ward off predators, and the staff's crook could reach around a sheep's chest to keep them from falling. God protected him like a shepherd protects his sheep. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Jesus ate with Pharisees. In Luke 7:36, this was one of three meals he had with his enemies. He wasn't afraid to eat with those who wanted him dead. I think this passage also refers to the Last Supper. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Jesus ate the Passover meal with his disciples. One of them was to betray him. In my sanctified imagination, as Pastor Harry would say. Picture a table laden with food. Maybe that's because I've seen David's painting of the Last Supper. No, Da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper, that's who it was. But I picture it as quite a spread. They would have had lamb stew, fish, beans, olives, and unleavened bread. Enough to feed 13 men. And of course, wine. Judas ate at the table with Jesus, knowing he was going to turn Jesus over to his enemies. And Judas was an enemy for betraying him. God prepared many tables for Jesus. At these tables and over this food, Jesus was able to talk to his enemies and show them who he really was. He is thanking God for the opportunity he's provided during his ministry. Thou anointest my head with oil. The practice of anointing someone's head with oil is an old one. It was typically part of a person's calling to represent God on earth. It was a way of showing that this person was set apart for God and his purpose. It represented an anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 26, 6 through 13, while Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. In the Gospel of Mark, it says the perfume was made of pure nard, which was very expensive oil, said to be worth almost the annual salary of an average person. This woman poured the oil on his head, and he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, whatever this gospel is preached around the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of me." At this time, with this line, Jesus is remembering this anointing and letting God know that he understood the significance of it. My cup runneth over. We often interpret a cup running over meaning we are abundantly blessed. We talk about our cup or maybe our bucket as full, and usually with love or caring. But in Jesus' case, this cup might have been a little different. We read a couple of weeks ago in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus asked God to remove this cup from him. In this case, the cup represents that he will suffer as he goes to the cross. This cup runs over with an abundance of pain and suffering and ultimately death. Jesus knows where he's headed. He knows that the cup he chose to take, it was God's will, and it was going to overflow. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Not my will, but thine be done." He is acknowledging his path to the cross will not be easy. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We as followers of Christ look on him as one who represents goodness and mercy. This is the Christ we believe in. This is the Christ that is unchanging. As followers, we try to also provide goodness and mercy to those we meet. Now, this interpretation, might be a bit of a stretch because Christ does not have days of his life. He lived 12,045 days before his crucifixion. That's 33 years, plus another 40 after his resurrection. That's not very long time on earth. Now, in the present time, the days of his life are innumerable. And we know that he dwells in the house of the Lord forever. Luke 24, 50 and 51 says about the passage about Jesus appearing to disciples after his resurrection. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. Peter 3:22 states in reference to Christ after his ascension, He who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. So you see, you can look at this as not only the psalm that we are used to reading, but the way Jesus might have thought of it and read it or said it to himself at the time that he was heading to the cross. So let's, if you have a Bible or a phone or something, let's recite the 23rd Psalm again with the thought that Jesus recited it or prayed it. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Think of him talking to God with these words about his ministry and words of gratitude. I envision that this happened either in the Garden of Gethsemane when he left the disciples to pray, or sometime on the cross, an acknowledgement of his relationship with God and all that God had done for him during his time on earth. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we journey through the 40 days of Lent, let us remember your journey. Help us to grow closer to you as we pray the Psalms and get closer to the day you gave your life for us who were and are so unworthy. May we read the scripture with new eyes. May we thank you for your reaching, your teaching, and for your sacrifice. May we journey together toward the cross. Amen.